Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my people. Good evening to my radio audience again. I was in the midst of my broadcast today, and the lights went out at my house. I was in the midst of my broadcast, and the lights went out at my house. So I had to leave my house, get in my truck, and go to buy fuses so I could get the lights back on. I was in the middle of the broadcast talking about confessing of your sins. And I had at law number 533 and Numbers chapter 5. Verse 5 and 6, and I was teaching the people about confession and what that law says about when you sin and when you're guilty. And in the middle of me teaching the people about what the law was saying that they needed to do, and if they didn't do the law and the confession, what the God of Israel going to do to them. In the midst of me showing them 1 John chapter 3 about sin is the transgression of the law and sin is of the law. And in the midst of me saying that, as soon as I said that, boom, the lights went out. I know that there was an attack from the prince of the air, which is Satan himself. So it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to always finish what the God of Israel want me to finish. No matter what the obstacles is, no matter what the problem is, I'm not going to let nothing and no one defeat me and this earth when it comes to doing my Father's business. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off. And this is why I labeled this audio, God of Israel Law versus the Law of the Land. 613 Laws in the Covenant, audio 29, finish. Because I didn't finish audio 29. So I am back here now to finish. So let's pick it up. Let's pick it up where we left off. This is Prophetic Power of Truth Divine Platform. And I am your host, Elisheba. I am the prophet of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. His name is Ahaya. Guest call-in number, if you would like to call in, 661-244-9831. You are welcome to call in to say whatever you want to say. If you have a question, I will answer your question. I will try to. So let's pick it up. I'm just going to read law number 533. To make confession before Ahaya of any sin that one has committed, when bringing a sacrifice and at other times, Numbers 5, verse 6 and 7. That's the law that I was reading before my lights went dead. So let's get that law. Let's get that law and pick it up where we left off at. You need to go back to that audio, which was a very powerful and prophetic audio that I was just in the midst of making before I got interrupted. Before I got interrupted. So let me pull up this law in Numbers chapter 5, verse 6. Numbers 5, 6. Speak unto the children of Israel. And when a man or a woman shall commit any sin, that man commit or do a trespass against a hire, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess. If you are guilty of sinning against the covenant, the 613 laws that's written up in the Old Testament, the Torah, if you are guilty for transgressing and trespassing of the God of Israel law, a hire. I'm not going to go through all what I was saying before I got interrupted. You could go back to the other audio and listen. I'm just trying to pick it up where I left off. Then they shall confess their sin. So if you are guilty, you must confess your sins. Which they have done. And he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he has trespassed. If you do anybody wrong, your brothers and sisters, your Hebrew brothers and sisters would be your neighbors. And that's why the law of the land told everybody that they Gentiles, because they don't want nobody to be Israel. They want you to believe that Israel is dead and done away with. Because they don't want you to understand the principle of law and what you have to do in order to keep the law. So that's one of the main reasons that they told everybody that they are Gentiles, and they told the Christian church that they are spiritual Israel. They told you that you're spiritual Israel, the God of the Hebrews. Are you out there? Please take care of them. Thank you. How's everything in the back? Excuse me, people. Give me a minute. No, I'm talking about the baby. The baby, yeah. Uh-huh. Nobody. I need you to put him back there with Mama Pat. Put him in there with Mama Pat and watch, excuse me, people, and watch and see how she responds to him, okay? Don't just throw him in there. Just watch and see how she responds. And if she starts doing that stuff, you got to take him out. But obviously his mama don't want him, okay? Yeah. Is he still walking? Okay. Then they shall confess their sins, which they have done. I'm reading Numbers 5:7. And he shall recompense. Let's go to the next law. Law number 5:34. Not to put olive oil in the meal offering of a woman suspected of adultery. Not to put olive oil in the meal offering of a woman that was suspected of adultery. That's Numbers 5:15, same chapter, 15 verse. Let's read that. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, and offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. Verse 16 of Numbers 5. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before Ahiah. And the priest shall take holy water. Y'all listen to me. I'm reading the Torah. I'm reading the covenant. I am reading the law of the God of Israel. The priest shall take holy water. Okay, no Catholic church be no priest. Can't no white man be no priest. Judah can't be the priest. Nobody can be the priest but the Levite. And that is an order forever. So I don't care how much your elder, your Hebrew Israelite elders tell you that they the new priests, that is a lie. Because they don't have no scripture to back what they are saying up. Not a one scripture. But the New Testament. And the New Testament is jacked up, people. It is jacked up. I'm not saying that everything in the New Testament is false. I'm saying that it's injections in there that don't fit the Torah, that don't fit the Tanakh. So if it don't fit the Torah and it don't fit the Tanakh, it is a lie. And it is an injection. So the woman that was caught in adultery when our ancestors was in Jerusalem, the husband of that woman had to take her and set her before Ahiah in front of the priest. Only priest you want to ever have in this earth, and when we get to the new kingdom, will be the Levites, will be the Haitians. They are the priests forever. Forever. No, the Son of God was not a priest. That's another injected doctrine and tradition. No, he was not a priest. Why? Because he's not from the Levitical priesthood. You can only be a priest if you're from the tribe of Levi. No, he's from the tribe of Judah. He's not a priest. He's a king and a savior to the children of Israel. And the priest shall take holy water. That's what Aaron had to do. And an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle. So he had to take water, put it in a vessel, a holy vessel to use for special purification and special services that they had to do before the God of Israel. He's supposed to take it, put the water in it, and put dust from the tabernacle. Take some dirt from the ground of the tabernacle. The priest shall take and put it into the water. This is what he had to do. This is the order of the Levitical priesthood. When a woman is caught in adultery, I have a question for you people. And the priest shall set the woman before Ahiah and uncover the woman's head that show you that all the women of the children of Israel, all the sisters and the women and the mothers had to cover their head. They had their head covered at all times. They wore veils. It's part of who we are. It's part of the Hebrew culture that we wear that. Not weaves in our hair. Let me help you women, you ones that say y'all in the truth, y'all Hebrew Israelite sisters, not weaving your hair. Do you think the God of Israel want you to have a veil on your head with weaves under it? Absolutely not. For what? For what? And I get stories like, oh, my hair is no good now. It's bald-headed. Well, you did that to your own self. You did that to your own hair. There's no excuse with the God of Israel because he ain't never told you to put no weave in your hair. You did that following the Gentile law and the Gentile way. That's why you did it. So no, you're not exempt because your head is bald and it's got patches and stuff coming out of it now because you've been wearing weed for 10 years. You must cover your head and your hair, your own hair. Again, people, the woman head and put the offering of memorial in her hand, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water, because he put the dust in it from the tabernacle floor that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man have laid with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water. Mm-hmm. That's why we got to have the Levites, the priests. He the only one can go before the God of Israel and minister in the priest's office to the God of Israel for the children of Israel to get to make an atonement or to make a sacrifice for whatever it is that we do wrong. So in this particular case, the woman committed adultery against her husband, and you got so many women today that's committing adultery against their husbands. So many. In the church, out the church, around the church, wherever. Christian church, you're a church sister, you got so many women up in churches that say they into God that commit adultery with other men against their husband, or women against their husband. So look, and say unto the woman, if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that caused the curse. So if she lying to the priest and telling the priest that she didn't go against her husband, she didn't do nothing wrong, she didn't commit no adultery, and when the priest give her the water, she's going to turn into a curse. He's going to know right off that she's telling a lie. Numbers 5, verse 20. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled with some man, have laid with thee besides thy husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, Ahayah, make thee a curse. Do y'all want me to say it again? You think you're all loving God? That he didn't hurt people? He didn't curse people? He cursed them back then and he cursing them today. Yes. Ahayah, make thee a curse. An oath among thy people when Ahayah do it, make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. So we're going to see if you're telling the truth. See, they couldn't lie to Aaron because Aaron was so anointed. Aaron was so connected to the God of Israel. So he said, you know what? If you lie and you slept with somebody else other than your husband, your thigh is going to rot off and your belly going to swell. Verse 22. Let me help some of y'all sisters today that's committing adultery against your husband. And this water that caused the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, so be it in the Hebrew or in English, amen, amen. Injection. Amen is not in the Hebrew scrolls. So the woman must agree with the priest that whatever he already made the oath before the God of Israel, he already made the oath. When you make an oath, he had to repeat it 7 times. That's up under the Hebrew order of swearing and making oaths and vows before the God of Israel. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that caused the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering of the woman's hand and shall wave the offering before Ahayah and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. Verse 5:27 of Numbers. And when he have made her drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled, come on now, people. See, the priest had to make the water. If she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that caused the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot. And the woman shall be a curse among her people. See ya. Excuse me, people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and shall conceive seed. This is the law of jealousy when a wife go aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled. And when the spirit of jealousy come upon him and he be jealous, talking about your husband, sisters, over his wife, and he shall set the woman before Ahayah, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. So this is what they had to do, our ancestors, when they was in Jerusalem. When a woman commit adultery on her husband. You have so many women today that's committing adultery, like I said. Do y'all women and sisters really think that y'all are getting away with that, with the God of Israel, when he have wrote it in the law? When he have wrote it in the law, when he have wrote it in the Torah that you cannot commit adultery? You're not getting away with it. That's why you got breast cancer. That's why you got all kind of stuff wrong with you. Because you have sinned against your husband. You're not going to get away. Not in this life and not in the life to come after we leave this earth. So they had to do all of that. They had to do all of that. And because we're not in our own land, we're in captivity, we're in slavery up under the Gentiles, the evil. We don't have our priest. Our priest is in slavery. The Haitians. So we cannot practice this law right here because we are in captivity for our rebellion and for our wickedness. But again, this law still stands today that a woman shall not commit adultery on her husband. Next law. I was going to ask you a question. Right. When you commit adultery today against your husband, a man, you commit adultery against your wife, how do you get your forgiveness today? Do you believe that Jesus forgive you for the sin and the act of adultery? Is that what you believe? It's okay if you believe that. It's okay if you believe that. But again, we're dealing with the Torah. We're dealing with the law. We're dealing with the Hebrew scrolls. Next law. Law number 534, not to put olive oil in a meal offering of a woman. That's the one we just did. Next law, law number 535, not to put frankincense on it. Numbers 515, you can read that. Next law, law number 536, to offer up the regular sacrifice daily, two lambs, as burnt offerings. Numbers 28:3. You can read that. Next law. Law number 537. To offer up an additional sacrifice every Sabbath. Two lambs. Every Sabbath day. Let's get that. Numbers 28:9. Numbers 28:9. Today is the Sabbath. So let's read that. And on the seventh day, Numbers 28:9, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two tenth ears of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath. So you, besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. So you believe, this is what the law of the land done taught you people. You believe because Jesus was born in this world, or the Son of God was born in this world, that you don't have to do this anymore. That's what you've been taught. And that's what you believe. He's the perfect sacrifice. Yes, he was the perfect sacrifice, and he is for the children of Israel to keep them from dying when they break the law. But when you confess your sins and when you ask for forgiveness, you cannot ask Jesus. Jesus cannot forgive you for the sins that you commit. It has to be the Father that you talk to. Because the Father is in control, not the Son. And if y'all don't know that, I need to help y'all with that today. So no, this law stand, every Sabbath day, he had to have two lambs. Every Sabbath day, when the Son of God was born in the earth, they had to keep this law over there in the New Testament, you want to call it. Every Sabbath day, they had two lambs. Yes, they kept the law. Next law. Law number 536. But because we're not in our own land, we can't keep it. But when we get back to Jerusalem, when he restore the Hebrew kingdom, law number 536, to offer up the regular sacrifice daily to, I just read that. Law number 537, to offer up an additional sacrifice every Sabbath, two lambs. Numbers 38:9, I just read that. Law number 538. Law number 538. To offer up an additional sacrifice every new moon. Every new moon, which means new month. You have seasons. You have seasons. You have the new moon of the first month. You have the new moon of the fourth month. I'm just paraphrasing. You have the new moon of the seventh month. This is how you calculate time with the Hebrew calendar, not the Gentile calendar that you people got today. Not that calendar. That ain't got nothing to do with the God of Israel calculation. That have everything to do with Satan calculation and his world and the way he set up his days, his holidays and his time and his stuff, his autumn and spring and all that stuff. No, every new moon, the children of Israel, our ancestors, had to have a sacrifice every new moon. And again, that's why they got kicked out, because they was not doing what the God of Israel told them to do. It didn't have nothing to do with the law was done away. It have everything to do with that they got kicked out of Jerusalem. And we're not there. Every new moon. And that's why I said, you Hebrew Israelites, y'all ain't keeping no holy days. Sit down. You don't have no sacrifice on the new moons, the new moon of the first year, which bring in the new season, the new year. You don't have no sacrifice. Not what the God of Israel wants. So please sit down. Please sit down and stop polluting the holy days like your ancestors did when they was in their own land. Stop polluting the holy days. Please stop polluting them. And that's another warning from the God of Israel. You cannot keep that this law. You don't have a sacrifice. You don't want none of your meat in Walmart and Sam Club now. Next law. Law number 539. To bring an additional offering on the day of the first fruits. Of Pentecost. Let's read that. Numbers 28. Verse 26 and 27. Also in the day of the first fruits, the Feast of Week, Pentecost, 50, Pentecost. When you bring a new meat offering unto a higher after your weeks, be out, you should have an holy convocation. You should do no servile work, but you should offer the burnt offering, sweet savior, unto a higher, two young bullocks. Mm-hmm. One ram. Can't have no lamb. Can't have no goat. You cannot have nothing to substitute what the God of Israel say that he wants. I read that earlier in audio 29 before I got disconnected. It's a law up in the Torah that say you cannot substitute the meat offering and the sacrifice. You have to give him exactly what he say. If he say bullock, that's what he want. If he say one ram, that's what he want. Seven lambs, that's what he want. Of the first year. They all got to be 1 year old. You cannot keep Pentecost. Hebrews. You cannot keep Feast of Weeks. Elder Ricard. G-O-C-C. I-U-P. I-O-O. O-D-A-S-A. E-U-I-P-T. No. You cannot keep the Feast of Weeks. Because you do not have the meat offering that the God of Israel requires for you to have. No. 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 Christ did not do away with that. Christ did not do away with that. Or with this. He came to give a better covenant. And that covenant means that you can live and not die when you sin. And you can get eternal life. That's what he came to bring. And that's it. Nothing else. And if you can prove that he bought something else, please come on here today or whenever you get ready and show me the scripture, or show me the understanding, or show me the precepts. I would like to see that so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I love for somebody to correct me if I'm wrong, because I love to learn. But there's not a scripture that I have read that can prove that the Son of God done away with all the meat offerings and the burn off. No, 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 no. His Father is a God. He is a God. The Holy Spirit is a God. They are lesser gods up under the Father. Yeah. Yes. Next law. So you Christians think Pentecost is all about going to some church and, you know, fellowshipping with some church and you calling in a preacher from Chicago or New York, coming in a prophet, and he gonna preach a word of God. No, 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 no. You out of order, Christians. You are out of order. You are out of order. And y'all better sit down. You better sit down. You better sit down and stop your evil and your wickedness. Because that's exactly what it is. You can only keep the day of Pentecost the way the God of Israel tell you to keep it. And no other way. Next law. Law number 540. To offer up an additional sacrifice on Feast of Trumpets for Rosh Hashanah, Numbers 29:1-6. To offer up an additional sacrifice on the Feast of Trumpets. Numbers 29:1-6, you can read that. Law number 541, to offer up an additional sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. Numbers 29:7-8, you can read that. All of these are holy days that the God of Israel have written up under the covenant. But y'all, instead of keeping holy days, and you can't keep them no way because you're not in Jerusalem, and you don't have what you need to have to keep them, instead of that, you defiling them, Hebrew Israelites. And Christian church, you rather keep holidays. My mama just told me today, oh, man, we about to start buying the Christmas. We about to start buying the toys for Christmas. How can somebody in their right mind, I know my mom ain't in her right mind. I know she crazy, man. How somebody in their right mind, with all these people dying and dropping dead, with hundreds of ships backed up in the ocean over there in California, the port, with all the merchandise and all the goods and all the stuff on the ships, and they cannot unload the ships and take the stuff off the ships. The ships just floating around in the water. How somebody in their right mind can even think about Christmas, about going to buy something? You know how? They love the law of this land. And the gods, like Armitis, Diana in the English, Apollo, Zeus, Ra, Yah, all kind, they love the gods of this world. That's how she can do it. She ain't thinking about nothing but getting the Gentiles, her daddy now, her daddy, y'all daddy, the Gentiles, y'all gods, the Gentiles. That's all she's thinking about is getting them more wealthy. That's all y'all people think about, buying more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. For what? For what? Can't you see what's going on? No, you can't see because you got eyes and you can't see. Because I read a scripture last night when I came on the radio broadcast, this divine platform, that said, they that trust in idols and false gods and images, they are just like them. Got eyes to see and they cannot see. You can't see that your economy is at a standstill. You can't see it, and you don't want to see it because you got so much hope. You have so much confidence. You have so much trust. You have so much faith in your world and in your daddies, the Gentiles. You believe that they're going to fix this economy and open it back up. That's what y'all believe. You believe COVID just going to disappear. Yeah. Whenever the God of Israel won't, that's when it's going to disappear. They'll never outsmart the God of Israel, and they'll never outdo him. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're trying to do, he always 100 or probably 1,000 or a million steps in front of them. That's how the wisdom of this world is foolishness with the God of Israel. Foolishness. So she's talking about Christmas and all of that, and we're going to get the kids some toys. You better be taking that money, putting it in a hole somewhere, so you'll be able to get you some food. Because in a minute, it won't be no food on the shelves. It won't be no food on the shelves. Why, people? Because it is part of the new world order. This is how they're going to get you people to take the mark of the beast, the mark of identity. So my mama, she don't have no sense to me. She's like a little girl. Yeah, I don't care if she's my mama. The truth is the truth. What can I learn from a woman like that? Taking her money, her little last government Social Security check, and talking about some Christmas toys at a time like this when people ain't got, like, please. Let me keep going. I got something else I need to say on that later. No, 542, the next law. To offer up additional sacrifices on the Feast of Tabernacle, Numbers 29, 12 through 34. You can read that. I just want to read them too, because I am ready to establish this law. I've been at it now for 3 months. I'm ready to establish it. I'm ready to be finished with it. So the God of Israel can do whatever he need to do from that forward, from this point on. So I'm reading through. And then the ones that I feel I need to stop and talk about, then that's what I'm doing right now. All the holy days in the Bible that the God of Israel told us to keep. To offer up additional offering on the eighth day after the Feast of Tabernacle call, which is a festival by itself, Numbers 29:35-38. The eighth day is an anticipation of the New Testament Sabbath, which would be instituted on the first day of the week, which is also the eighth day. So this one right here is trying to say this is a misinformed information right here. They trying to say that the Sabbath day, according to the New Testament, is the eighth day of the week. Ain't no eighth day of the week. It's only 7 days in a week. According to the eighth day after the Feast of Tabernacle. The New Testament Sabbath, which would be instituted, no, on the first day of the week, no. When did the New Testament institute the Sabbath day? Because they injected a scripture over there in the New Testament where it said, Paul said, when I come on the first day of the week or something, it say like that, put your collections to the side. That ain't got nothing to do with the Sabbath day. That just have everything to do with the fact that Paul was coming on the first day of the week. And he told them, if you're going to give me something or you want to put something away for the poor or whatever, put it away. It ain't saying nothing about the Sabbath day is on the first day of the week. And then they try to use that scripture in Revelation where it say on the Lord's day. I think, let me get that. Hold on. Matter of fact, I want to get both of them. Give me a minute. First Corinthians 16:2. Let's look at that, people. First Corinthians, because this is what the Christian church tried to use to say that the Sabbath is the first day of the week now. It was changed in the New Testament. Let's examine this. First Corinthians 16. Let's examine this. I love to examine things, people. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Start at verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Number one, who is the saints? And again, this is nothing but a Greek English translation. Saints, that's an English word. Who is the saints that Paul is talking about? Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there'll be no gathering when I come. This don't got nothing to do with the Sabbath day changing from the seventh day to the first day. It don't have nothing to do with that at all. So guess what, Kristen? You cannot use this scripture to say that God changed the Sabbath day to the first day of the week. He would never change the Sabbath day. It is a order. It is a perpetual covenant for the Sabbath day. So Paul was just really just telling the people, you know what? Just put it aside, and when I come on the first day of the week, I'll gather it up. They ain't got nothing to do with no Sabbath day changing, people. No. Your Sunday that you go to church on and open up your theaters, because that's what they are, theaters, the foul, pagan, polluted theaters where you go watch your shows every Sunday, your satanic preachers and pastors and bishops and them getting up there performing for you. That's what it is, a theater. So that's what you do on a Sunday. You go into your theaters. Probably right here, I'm not for sure. I have to do the research on it. Paul was probably dealing with, hold on one moment, let me check this. Paul was probably dealing with a Gentile people right here. Galatia, I think they was Gentiles. So yes, they probably was having their church on the first day of the week. That is a very old order. But it ain't got nothing to do with the Hebrews. It don't have nothing to do with the God of the Hebrews. It have everything to do with the Gentiles, whatever they doing. So no, the Sabbath steals the seventh day, and you cannot use this scripture to change it. Now let's get the other one that they use over there in Revelation. Revelation 1:10. Let's get that. Revelation 1:10, people. Let me show you the law of the land. How they injected things in the Bible to fit their doctrine and their belief and glorify their God Satan up in this earth. Revelation 1:10. I was in the spirit. Look what it say, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother. Number one, he is a Hebrew. John was a Hebrew from the tribe of Judah, most likely. Because John is the son of God, brother, I believe. I believe this is the same John. And again, I don't like to throw stuff that I don't research. But I believe that John was from the tribe of Judah. I, John, also of your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Yeshua Mashiach, not known Christ, Mashiach, was in the isles that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Yeshua Mashiach, I was in the spirit they put Lord here. Lord, you know what it say right here? For Lord, Greek number 2960 for Revelation 1 verse 10, belonging to the Lord Jehovah or Jesus. Jehovah, the word Baal in the Hebrew is going to say Baal, a symbolic name for Jehovah. No, Jehovah is a symbolic name for Baal. So no, the Lord that they try to inject in Revelation 1:10 is Satan himself, Baal, Jehovah. Don't have nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. I was in the spirit on a highest day. That's what's supposed to be there. Not no Lord's day. I was in the spirit on a highest day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. A highest day. That's the seventh day of the week. The Shabbat, which is the day, the Sabbath day. Yes, people. See, that's how they deceive you Gentiles. And that's how they deceive you people, because they inject things in the Bible that don't even supposed to be there. Lord's Day. So since they put the word Lord right there, you think they talking about Sunday. Because that's the Lord's Day to you. Sunday worship. Yeah, that is the Lord. Lord is Jehovah. Lord is Baal. Lord is Satan. Yeah, Sunday is his day that you go and worship your God, Satan. Yeah. That's what it's all about. See, I told you people earlier, you have two, I think I said that yesterday when I was on the broadcast. You have two gods. You have Jew and Gentile. You have the God of Israel is Satan. You have the Sabbath day, and you have Sunday worship. Can y'all see it so clear? So you are dealing with two different ideologies here. One belonged to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, higher, which is the Sabbath day. And the other one belongs to Satan. Satan, Jabalon, Satan belong to him. The prince of the Mestindas. Mestindas, I'm not pronouncing it right. So that's the problem, people. That ain't got nothing to do with the Sabbath day. This have everything. Yo, John wasn't in no spirit on no Lord's Day. John was in the spirit on a highest day, which is the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. So let me go back to my law class. Law number 544, to bring all offering, whether obligator or free will, on the first festival after there was inquired. Deuteronomy 12:5-6. You can read that. Law number 545, not to offer up sacrifice outside the sanctuary. Let's get this one, because I believe this one is a very, very important one. Deuteronomy 12:13, not to offer up sacrifices outside the sanctuary. Law number 545. Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 and 6. But unto the place, let me go up to verse 4. Of Deuteronomy 12. You should not do so unto Ahiah your God, but unto the place which Ahiah your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even to his inhabitation shall you seek, and thither thou shall come. Y'all hear me, people? And thither, verse 6 of Deuteronomy 12, Neither shall you bring your burnt offering and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offering of your hands and of your vows and your free will offerings and the fatlings of your herd and of your flocks. You cannot bring the God of Israel a higher an offering outside of Jerusalem, his sanctuary. You got to seek him in his inhabitation. And where is that? Zion, the holy mountain in Africa. Seek him in his habitation. Go over there to look for the God of Israel and his habitation. There shall you come. Hebrews, there shall me. Hebrews, there I have put my name. Hebrews, for you to come. Nowhere else in this earth have I put my name. Only Jerusalem. Only my holy mountain. Only the place in the whole world that haven't been defiled and polluted by man. That's why I kicked my own people out of their own land, because they defiled my land. And I am not going to have nobody defiling something where I live at. So no. You cannot give me no offering. You cannot give me no sacrifice. You cannot give me nothing on this side of the earth. You must come to my holy mountain. And my holy city, which is Jerusalem. Bring your tithes. Not no money. Bring your sacrifice. Bring your vows. Bring your flocks. Bring your herbs. Bring all that you have to me in Jerusalem. You can't give it to him, people. So all your churches, all the things that you people are doing, again, is pagan. Nizam. Next law. Law number 547. To redeem the cattle. I'm going to take it all the way to. Hold on, people. Let me see how far I'm going to go with this. I'm going to take it all the way to 576. And I'm going to be finished with this part of the sacrifice. Right here. Okay. To redeem cattle set apart for sacrifice that disqualifying blemishes, after which they may be eaten by anyone. Deuteronomy 12:15, you can read that. Law number 548, not to eat of the unblemished firstling outside of Jerusalem. Deuteronomy 12:17, you cannot eat nothing that you offer to God of Israel outside of Jerusalem. You cannot. You cannot have no banquet for the God of Israel. You call him God, but that's another God. That's not the God of Israel. You can't have no banquet and no feasts and all that stuff that y'all do up in your Christian churches and all your mosques and synagogues. You cannot eat nothing for me unless it's in Jerusalem. So sit down, Hebrew Israelites. Sit down, elders of the Hebrew Israelite. You leading the people the wrong way. You leading the people astray. You leading the people away from the God of Israel and to the God of this land. And that's why the people can't get nowhere. And that's why the people can't get no healing. And that's why the people can't get no deliverance. Why? Because you're not leading them to the God of Israel. You're leading them astray. He already told you in the law, you can't give me nothing unless it's in Jerusalem. Read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 12, 17. Read it. Since I'm in 12, I'm going to go down to 17 verse and read it for you. That's why your Hebrew Israelite elders people, your GOCCs and all of them, they only going to read. That's why they stay in the New Testament now. Every time they come on, they always talking about Christ. Christ, the New Testament. That same old doctrine that they've been teaching y'all. Y'all Israel, and you know, the Romans did this, and all that old same old stuff. That's why they don't go into the law with you. They don't go into the Torah with you. They don't break the law down law by law, where you can get a understanding. It's not about the law. It's about a doctrine with them. It's about them getting wealth, distributing fortunes, getting wealth from you. That's what it's all about. It ain't about the God of Israel. It's about wealth, and it's about the God of this land, Satan, and his order, and what he want and how he want it. Teaching that same old Christian church stuff. That's a different spin on it. That's all it is. 17 verse of Deuteronomy 12. Law number 548. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithes of thy corn, or the tithes of thy wine, or the tithes of thy oil, or the firstling of thy herds, or of thy flock, or any of thy vows that thy vows at thy hand. You cannot eat it. You must be in Jerusalem. Law number 549. Not to eat the flesh of the burnt offering. Deuteronomy 12, 17. This is a prohibit applying to every trespasser, not to enjoy any of the holy things. Law number 540. That the sons of Aaron, his descendants, shall not eat the flesh of the sin offering or guilt offering outside the courtyard or the sanctuary. Deuteronomy 12, 17. Law number 551. Not to eat the flesh of the sacrifice that are holy in a minor degree, before the blood has been sprinkled on the altar. Deuteronomy 12, 17. Law number 552. That the priests shall not eat the first fruits before they are set down in the courtyard of the sanctuary. Deuteronomy 12, 17. Law number 553. Law number 553, to take trouble to bring sacrifice to the sanctuary from place outside the land of Israel. Deuteronomy 12, 26, to take trouble to bring sacrifice to the sanctuary from places outside of the land of Israel. You cannot do it. Deuteronomy 12, 26. Next law. Law number 554. We have 5 more, and then we're going to go into another section of the law, and I'm going to hold that one to next Shabbat or next Sabbath day. we're getting done with the sacrifice now, the sanctuary and where it is and how you got to do it and how you got to give to the God of Israel. Law number 554, not to eat the flesh of beasts set apart as sacrifice that has been rendered unfit to be offered up by deliberately inflicting blemishes. Deuteronomy 14:3. Law number 555, not to do work with cattle set apart to sacrifice. Deuteronomy 15:19. Law number 556, not to shear the beast set apart for sacrifice. Deuteronomy 15:19. Law number 557, not to leave any portion of the festival offerings brought on the 14th third day. Deuteronomy 16:4. Read that. Law number 558, not to offer up a beast that has a temporary blemish. You can't do that. Deuteronomy 17:1. Let's get that. Because you Hebrew Israelites is very guilty of this one. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto a higher thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemishes or any evil poor favoredness, for that is an abomination unto Ahiah thy God. You cannot offer anything that has a blemish to Ahiah thy God in a sacrifice. It is an abomination. So you Hebrew Israelites, listen to me. The ones that say y'all in the truth, the ones say that y'all got the right name, the ones say that y'all following the God of Israel, the ones say that y'all are the Hebrews, the Israelites, you are committing abominations. Why? Because all of your holy days that you go and rent your little halls and your little vacation rentals or whatever you rent to have your banquets and your festivals in, number one, the place is defiled. Number two, the meat that you're putting on your barbecue grills so blemished and blasphemed up, so you are committing an abomination. Stop following them elders. Stop falling them elders, people. I'm telling y'all. They leading y'all people to hell. They leading y'all people against the God of Israel. You cannot have no holy day on this side of the world. You cannot give the God of Israel no meat up out of no markets and grocery stores and farms that Gentiles run and Gentiles are over, white man, blue man, all kind of man. No, he don't want it. It's a blasphemy. It's blemish. It's blasphemy. So because it's blasphemy, it is an abomination. And that's why I stopped keeping holy days. Because the God of Israel woke me up and he showed me what I was doing was wrong. Following some elder talking about we keeping the holy days. We keeping the law. We following the law. So I'm trying to help you people to understand that you got to walk away from the laws of this land, which is all their religions. All their religions. All their gods. All their traditions. I know you love Jesus. You can't love Jesus no more because he's not real. Don't love Jesus. Don't love no white man. Don't love no white image. That's exactly what it is. It is an image of a white man. I don't care how much you Christians say, oh, I ain't following no white man. Yes, you are, because that is his image. That is his image. The statues that they make of him, he is a white figure. I don't care what you say. You are following an image. Believe me what I'm telling you, people. I used to love Jesus. I was a pastor for 15 years loving Jesus. Do y'all hear me? Loving Jesus for 15 years. I know how y'all feel. I know what you are feeling. But what you are feeling is not real. It is a delusion. It is a fairy tale. It is a story made up in a book by the Roman Empire, the Gentiles, Esau, Edom, and all the rest of them. If I let him go, so can you. I'm not dead. Nothing happened to me. Because I say I'm not going to love something, some image that they gave my ancestors when they got off the slave ships. I know better now. I know better now. I know who I am. They tried to hide the fact of who I am, a Hebrew woman. They tried to hide that from me. They tried to hide it from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are hiding it. Walk in the truth. Walk in the knowledge and the wisdom of the God of Israel. He ain't no white man, so how can his son be white? He not no color. That's what you've been taught, which is a lie. Which is a lie. He is a color, and he don't represent all colors. He only represent one color. And that's the 12 tribes of Israel. And they all the original people, as black as dirt. They black as the dirt in Africa. Let me keep going, people. I have a few scriptures I want to read, too. Law number 558. Law number 557. Not to leave any portion of the festival offered brought on the 14th day or to the third day, Deuteronomy 6:4. Law number 558, not to offer up a beast that has a temporary blemish, Deuteronomy 17:1. Law number 559, not to bring the sacrifice out of the hire of a harlot, of the price of a dog, Deuteronomy 23:19. Law number 560, to read the portion prescribed on bringing the first fruits, Deuteronomy 26:5. We're going to stop right there, people. We're going to pick it up Saturday. We're going to pick it up Saturday at law number 561. We getting there, people. We are getting there. Almost finished. So let me read the scriptures now that I have for you today. Let's pull up Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Let's see how much time we have. We have a little bit of time, but I need to take a 2-minute break, people. Give me 1 minute. I'll be right back. I'm back. Let's go right into the scriptures. Excuse me. God of Israel law versus the law of the land, 613 laws in the covenant, audio 29, finish. I finish the laws about the offering and the sacrifice of the God of Israel and about the sanctuary of the God of Israel. I finished it. So we're going to move into, well, let's see. Next week, we're going to move into rituals, ritual purity and impurity. Ritual purity and impurity. That's going to start at law number 561 next Saturday. God of Israel law versus the law of the land, 613 laws in the covenant, audio number 29 finished. This is prophetic power of truth, divine platform. Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. We have about four or five of these, and we're going to be finished. Timothy 6 and 5 verse, people. Perverse, listen what it say here. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Look what Paul told Timothy. But godliness with contempt is great gain. So it's not about no money with the God of Israel. It's not about no money. It's not about no show. It's not about who can preach the best sermon. It's not about who can preach the best sermon, who got the best suit on. It's not about none of that. These are perverse people, perverse men with corrupt minds. Anytime somebody asks you to give them some money, when the law and the covenant don't teach you that the God of Israel ever asked the children of Israel for no money. These are perverse men. Perverse disputing of men. You know what it say in 1 Timothy 6, 5? Let me help y'all today again in the prophetic. Greek number 3859 for 1 Timothy 6, 5. Perverse disputing. Misemployment. That is melosomeness. Misemployment. Misemployment, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. I got it right. I know the truth. I got the right doctrine. I got the right way. I got the right order. Come to my church. We serve Jesus. We go in the spirit. We worship hard. We got the right way. We got the right way. These are all perverse men disputing with one another over who got the best doctrine, who got the best teaching, who got the most people, who can make the most money. Disputing corrupt minds. Corrupt minds. And that's why the mind of the people are corrupt, because you leaders have corrupted the people, because y'all corrupted. Y'all are perverse. 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 Destituted of truth. What is truth? The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews is truth. His Holy Spirit is truth. The Son of God, the Mashiach, Yeshua, is truth. The heavenly host is truth. Truth. His law is truth. Not the laws of this world, not the laws of this land. Ain't no truth in what they have set up for us to do. There's no truth in that. What they have told us to do, work for them, work for them. Get a job, get a job, get a job. And then when you get the job, go buy our stuff. That's over there on the ocean, floating on them big ships right now that they can't unload. And guess what? And they might not even want to unload them, because, again, we are in the New World Order. And everything is being done for a reason. Can y'all hear me? I'm speaking prophetic. Everything is being done right now for a reason. These are men with corrupt minds. They made a doctrine and a tradition for you to follow, so you would go against the God of Israel to follow their God. Their God is on their money. Their God is on their money. And that's why you people got to go work, work, work for their God. Work. You are a slave to Satan and his agents. That's what you are, and you don't even know it. Oh, girl, I got to pay my bills, honey. Oh, girl, I got to pay. I got to pay my son college. I got to pay my son education. What? What is they teaching your kids? What is they teaching your kids? That's what I want to know. What is they teaching your kids? I can remember when I was in school, what they taught me. Absolutely nothing, people. Everything that they teach you is all about their corporations. It's all about their business. It's all about their work. It's all about their job. It's all about their protocol. You're going to become them. Who is them? The Gentiles, Hebrews. You're going to become them. That's the whole plan, is to get you to be them, Gentiles. And that's why they told everybody that you are Gentiles and wear our Gentile clothes and eat our Gentile food and live in our Gentile houses. Yeah. And put all your kids in our Gentile schools. You have became them. Celia, could you get my blanket off the line, please? Excuse me, people. You have became them. That's why you believe you are a Gentile, because they have programmed you to believe that. And Israel is dead. So if Israel dead, then their God must be dead too. So we have a new God. And that God is on our dollar bill. And God we trust. They are men of corrupt minds and destituted of truth. See, watch out for these people. Watch out for these men, Timothy. They are destituted of truth. When they speak a lie. They don't know the God of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. So all the stuff that Kraft O'Dollar and Joel Steen and all of them got, they believe that that is godliness. That's how you know that God is in their life, they say. Because they not broke and they not poor and they not hungry. That's how you know that we are blessed. Because we got great gain. We got millions of dollars in our bank account. We got private jets sitting up on our front yard. This how you know that we are blessed and that we are the men and women of God. This is what they teach you, people. They teach you gain is godliness. What gain is they talking about? Money. Money. And there's nowhere in the Torah, there's nowhere in the covenant where it teaches you that money is godliness. But this is what they teach you, so you will follow them. You keep writing them checks. You keep writing them checks. Put it on the bed. You keep writing them checks. The more checks you write, the more money they get. And the more they can say that we are blessed and God is with us. Just follow us. Just follow us. Paul told Timothy to withdraw yourselves from these people. Withdraw yourself from them, Timothy. Withdraw yourself from these perverse, corrupted-minded men and women, withdraw yourself. They will never be able to help you people. They will never be able to lead you to truth, the real God. Never. Their God is their belly. Their God is their money. Their God is their pocket. Their God is their fortune. Could I have some water, bruh? You hear me? Could I have some water? I'm reading 1 Timothy 6:5. Withdraw thyself. Let's look it up in the Greek. Paul told Timothy, withdraw yourself. Let's look up gain. Look what it say, people. Look what it say. I'm here to help you in the prophetic. I'm here to help you to understand what you are doing and who you are following. They are corrupt. All of them. You know what it say? Perverse, disputing of men, of corrupt minds, and destituted of truth. Destituted of truth. They don't have it, people. They don't have it. They don't have it. They are dry. They are dry. They don't have it. They have absolutely nothing inside of them. They are dry. They are destituted of truth. Timothy, supposing that gain, look what it say for gain, Greek number 4200, a way that is means furnishing, procuring, that is by implication, money, getting, acquisition, gain. They destituted from the truth because they want money. T.D. Jakes, all of them. G-O-C-C, I-U-P, I-U-E, Benny Hinn, Allah, them, everybody, they are destituted from truth, the money, godliness from such withdrawal. Withdraw thyself. Greek number 868, people. To remove, that is instigate to revolt, usually. Celia, come here. How did that work? What you, excuse me, people, I gotta ask them this. How did that work, what you just did? Yeah, with the little one. No, did you put it with mama in there with her? What she, huh? She don't want him, okay. Two. Come and answer the phone. Come and answer the phone. Hurry up. Hurry up, it's Carlos. Excuse me, people. Give me 1 minute.
Tell him I'm on the radio.
He's on the radio.
Is he on the bus? He on the bus?
Are you on the bus now?
Okay, the bus coming in a minute. So what did you find, CD? Excuse me, people. Is he dead?
Dead goat.
Move your hand.
Dead goat.
That's the other one there. That's the other one.
But she did that too.
Yeah, and she don't want him. She don't want him. Okay, he's going to die. We're just buried up. You got to bury it out when you find him, right?
Yeah.
She don't want him. Okay, people, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had the emergencies. But anyway, people, withdraw thyself, Paul told Timothy. The word withdraw is Greek number 868. To remove, that is actually instigate, to revolt, usually reflectively, to detest, desert, etc., depart, draw, fall away, refrain, withdraw self. Withdraw self. Destitute. Revoke, remove, get away from these ministries, get away from these pastors, get away from these bishops, get away from these churches, get away from these elders, get away from them, people, because they are men and they are women with corrupt minds that don't have the truth. And if they don't have the truth, they cannot help you. They cannot help you. No, G-O-C-C-I-P-E, no, they have some of the truth. They have some of the truth. They don't have the truth. They have some of it. Some. A very small portion. A very small number of truth. That's why they keep reading you the same Bible verses over and over and over again, just like the Christian church. Why? because they do not have the truth. Next scripture. 1 John. So remnant, get away from these people. Please, I'm telling you, get away from them. Withdraw yourselves from their leadership, from their ministry. The God of Israel will lead you. The God of Israel will guide you. The God of Israel will direct you. The holy angels will help you. He will send his angels to help you and lead you and guide you where you need to go and what you need to do. You don't need no corrupt mind and a corrupt man and woman over you, because they can't help you. So look what he told Timothy right here. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy 6. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing in this world. And we can carry, bro, you can't take the garbage out. I'll talk to him about it later. But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out, people. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But that's not what T.D. Jakes them preach. They teach you that if you don't got no millions and thousands of dollars in your bank account, you're not blessed. They tell you that just so you people keep giving them money. That ain't what the Bible teach. You didn't bring nothing in this world, T.D. Jakes. You didn't bring no millions of dollars in this world, Rob Parsley, Kenny Copeland and all of y'all, Joyce, and you certainly not going to take none of it with you. So what you leaders are teaching and what you bishops are doing is foolishness. It is foolishness. And it's satanic teaching. Now, come on here. Come on with what you know, bruh. Come on with what you know and what you got and talk to me. Come on. If you think you got it, you think you know it, you think what you're doing is right, come on here and stop being cowards. First John 5:19. Next scripture, precept. First John 5:19. Paul told Timothy, stay away from them men. Stay away from them people, Timothy. Talking about money. You need money. You need money. You need money. No, don't ask the people for no money. Don't ask the people for no money, Timothy. You don't need no money. All you need is food and all you need is clothes. And that's all you need with the God of Israel. Don't listen to them lies that them corrupt people is telling you, Timothy. Talking about you need to get money out the congregation. You need to get money out the people. You need to charge the people for this and charge the people for that. No! They are corrupt. Just like their daddies, the Gentiles. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are God. And the whole world lie in wickedness. We know, remnant. We know, remnant, that we are of God, the God of Israel. And the whole world. The whole world before the God of Israel. The whole world is evil. That's what John said. And that's why they killed them. Because they was with God and the whole world back in ancient times lied in wickedness. Just like today, you only got a few, a remnant, and the whole world lies in wickedness, live in wickedness. The whole world. When I look up whole, it say all together throughout whole world. I'm in overtime. Lie in wickedness. What is wickedness in the Greek? Greek number 4190. Hurtful. That is evil. Properly an effect of influence. Yes. Yes. Which refer rather to essential character as well as form, which indicate degeneracy from original virtue, evil. You're not normal. You are not normal, people. You are wicked. The whole world lie in wickedness. You are not normal. You don't have original virtue. Your DNA have been changed. Your virtue have been changed by your God, Satan. And your dad, your father, the devil, your father, the devil. I'm reading the Greek number for wickedness. 4190. Frigally, clatimus. Ill. Is diseased. Diseased. The whole world. Lie in wickedness. That's why everybody got a disease. That's why everybody's sick. Why? Because you people are wicked. That is a red flag that you are wicked and evil because you got a disease. Yes. Did Peter have a disease? No. Did Paul have a disease? No. Did John have a disease? No. Paul said he had some kind of thorn in his side. It could have been. I don't know. But I know that they had power and they was connected to the God of Israel. It's a ill, that is disease. Mischief, malice, guilt, sinners, devils, bad, evil, grievous, harm, malicious, wickedness. The whole world lie in wickedness. And y'all think the God of Israel or higher ain't going to burn this earth up? He don't want it. He don't want it. Because you people have defiled it. Revelation 13:8. Let's go to that. And after that, I got two more and I'm finished. And I'm going to say, talk to y'all later. Revelation 13:8. No news articles today. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who is him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world? Slain from the foundation of the world. and all that dwell upon this earth shall worship him. Who is him? The Antichrist. Antichrist. Y'all don't know who the Antichrist is. Y'all don't know who the what the mark of the beast is. You have the faintest idea who the Antichrist is and what the mark of the beast is. Bishop. Bishop. Prophet. You have the faintest idea. And that's why y'all running right now. Getting vaxxed up, they call it. Vaxxed up. Getting ready to receive your God, Satan. Revelation 13:8, Revelation 9:20, precept. Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men, which was not killed by these plagues. Yeah. One of them plagues is COVID-19 right now. And the rest of the men which was not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. They neither repented thereof of the murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts, that they should worship devils. Pull this word up in Revelation 9:20 for devils. Took me to the same Greek number that it took me to last night when I did my broadcast. It took me to Greek number 1142 to distribute fortunes, a demon or supernatural spirit. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. How? How are you worshiping the devils with the works of your hand? Going to get a job so you can make some money. And when you make your money, you're going to take it to your satanic leaders. And they're going to speak to you, fortune telling you. That you're going to get this. This going to happen. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Just give me a $1 million check. Just give me $10,000. Guarantee you, you will get it in the next 5 days. Turn around 5 times. Turn around 5 times. Let's confirm it. That you're going to get that $1 million check in your mailbox in 5 days. I need you to turn around 5 times so we can confirm your blessing, that your $1 million check going to be in the mailbox in 5 days. So $1 million, and the next 5 days, you're going to get that $1 million back. Turn around 5 times. Oh, I need you to run around the church 3 times and then come back to the altar and fall down and worship God in front of me. And I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I'm going to confirm the fortune telling for you. That ain't nothing but sorcery. That's nothing but fortune telling. Telling you the future. Something that's going to happen that's not true. Just to get the money out of you. the devils that you people not going to repent from the works of your hand or worshiping devils is you going to get a job in a corporation, you raising your children up to go to college so they can get a job, so they can join some ministry, Craft O'Dollar, Jamal Burton, some ministry, so they can prophesy to you satanic prophecy. You're not going to repent, people. You're not going to repent. It said for the works of their hand. Look what works mean in Revelation 9:20, and I'm getting ready to leave. Works of the hand is Greek number 2041. A primary but absolute word to work, toil, as an effort of occupation, by implication, an act, deed, doing labor, work, doing labor, occupation. The works of their hands that they should not worship. Greek number 4352, meaning to kiss like a dog, licking his master's hand, to frown or crouch to, that is literally or figuratively prostrate oneself. Up in the Christian church, when they fall out after Kenny Copeland them and all of them don't told them what's going to happen, they fall out. Prostate, straight out, up on the altar, in their theaters. It's dark up there. Oh, my God, it's nothing but a show. It's a show, a big old show every Sunday. They fall out. Prostate oneself. And homage to who? To your God, Satan, that run and own all your ministries and all your churches. That's who you falling out to. To homage to him and to his ministers. Do reverence, adore, worship. Wow, people. That is deep. So you're not going to repent. You're not going to repent for the occupations, for your jobs, for your work, for your labor that you are doing right now to worship devils. The Gentiles, they are devils. Yeah, the people that rule this earth are devils. Yes. And they worship devils, distributing fortune, demons, last scripture. So that's why you people are in trouble. That's why you are in trouble with the God of Israel. Your names are not written in the book of life. Why you can't repent. Your name is not written in the book of life. That's why you can't repent, and that's why you can't walk away from these ministries and churches. Because your name is not written in the book of life. You got to have a man over you. You got to have a man that you bow down to and worship and homage to his God, Satan. Ephesians 2:2, last Bible verse for today. Poor little Becky Sue. Poor little Sally Maynum. Y'all really think y'all doing something when you become a doctor and a nurse and a teacher. And the God of Israel never told you to do that. Never. He told you to work for him and him only. That's who he told you to work for. But because you chose to work for the beast, Satan, and his leaders, you belong to him. You belong to him. And that's why you sending your kids up in these schools and they getting COVID-19 and all kind of stuff going on with your children. Because you trying to train them up just the way that your mama and them trained you. To use the work of their hands to pay homage to the beast and his system. His system is all the jobs and education and all the stuff that he got in this earth. Pay homage. Everybody's so busy going to school, people dropping dead around you. You still want to go to school. You got to be crazy, man. You really have to be sick to have a mentality like that. People are dropping dead around you, and you still talking about going to school and going to work and going to college and doing this and doing that. Repent, the God of Israel say. But you can't repent. Why? Because you don't belong to him. Ephesians 2:2. Let's start at verse 1. And you have ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world. Didn't I just read that to you in Revelation? Where you cannot repent for the works of your hand. You walk into the course of this world. This world belongs to the God of this world, which is Satan. This is his course. These his clothes that y'all wear or we wear. That's why I don't like going up in the mall and up in stores buying clothes no more. I'd rather get my clothes made. I don't want nothing the beast want to give me or offer me in this world. I don't need their food. I got my own food. Need nothing from them. Don't want nothing from them. They can have their world. Telling everybody you got to get a vaccine just to go to the grocery store. I read that over there in Frankfurt, Germany last week. They got to have a vaccine to even go up in the grocery store. Telling everybody to go to a gym, you got to get a vaccine. To go to a restaurant, you got to get a vaccine. To go anywhere, you got to get a vaccine. Oh, man, just keep your satanic pagan world. Just keep it. I'm not going to sell my soul to the beast to have what he want to offer me and give me. Keep your clothes. Keep your food. Keep your money. Keep all of it. I will be content. Like Paul told Timothy, with food and raiment, I will be content. That's all I need. Long as I can eat. Because ain't nowhere else you could go up in this world without being vaccinated. You can't travel. You can't go see nobody. You can't go spend no time with your mom and them. They ain't going to even let you in the house if you ain't got no vaccine. You knock on the door. Mama, I'm here to visit you. They looking out the window and all that stuff. Who is that? Who is that? Oh, man, that's Peggy. Peggy ain't had no vaccine. Oh, Peggy, you can't come up in here, babe. You can't come up in here, Peggy. You got to get a vaccine. See, this is what the beast is doing, separating us. Separating us as a people. And guess what? It's working very good. Only the remnant can see it. Only the remnant can wake up. Only the remnant, the true men and women of the God of Israel, going to walk away. So Paul told Timothy, be content with food and raiment, Timothy. You don't have to prostitute the people and ask the people to give you no money and give you this and pay for this and pay for that. Naked, Timothy, you came in this world. And naked, Timothy, you're going to leave out of it. No, they can't get me with that. Oh, you can't go to the store. Oh, you can't go to the mall. Oh, you can't go here. Oh, you can't go there. Oh, you can't go to the gym. Oh, you can't go here. Oh, you can't go over your mama's house. Oh, well, I just can't go. I'm content with the God of Israel. That's the only way I need to go anywhere. Anyway, I done did everything I want to do up in this earth. I done did everything that I need to do up in this world, people. There's nothing that I want to do but please my God right now. I'm telling y'all. They going to use the Gentiles, the enemy of the God of Israel. They going to use all of their stuff in this world to give y'all people the mark of identity. Not me, people. I'm not selling out on the God of Israel for they food, they water. I go dig me a hole in the ground, plenty of water in the ground. I don't need their water. I don't need their water up in their grocery store. I can dig a hole and the ground and get all the water that I need. But because you love the beast and what he has to give you, you want to take the mark of identity. So I'm getting ready to go, people. Wherein, he said, Ephesians 2:2, and the time passed. We walked according to the course of this world. Look what Paul say. I ain't walking like that no more. I ain't trying to follow the Roman Empire no more. They already had me. They had me killing people, all kind of stuff I was doing for them. And the God of Israel knocked me off a horse and told me, Paul, get right. I used to walk by their rule. I used to walk by their order. I used to walk by their way. I used to walk by their way. No, not no more. Y'all can't see this stuff, people. What is going to happen up in here? They got the stuff floating over there on the sea. All the food, all the canned goods, all the stuff that y'all people love for Christmas and all your holidays. Why is it floating over there? You don't know why. And I'm not going to tell you why. Because guess what? You don't belong to the God of Israel nowhere. So you don't need to know. Wherein? And the time passed. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan is in the air. He's in the air. Oh, man, I don't know why I killed Lusu. I don't know why I killed my husband. I don't know why I killed my grandma. I don't know why I cut my wife's throat. Something just got in me. I don't know why I cut my daughter up and buried her in my backyard. I don't know why. I don't know why I ran my boyfriend down with my car and killed him. I don't know why. You know why? The prince of the power of the air got up in you, a demon. Don't say that you don't know why. Just say you don't understand why they came over you to go in that kitchen and get a knife and stab your baby. Something came over you to go in the kitchen or in your closet and get a baseball bat and bust your mom in the head. Something came over you to go in your closet and grab your gun and shoot your daddy to death. The prince of the power of the air. Breathe. When I look up the word air, look what it say in the Greek. Ephesians 2:2. To breathe unconsciously. Greek number 109 for air. To breathe unconsciously. Something knocked me out and put me in another mindset. Spirit people. It is a spirit. It is a spirit. A evil spirit. Spirits that now work in. And guess what? Some of them be members of the church. Some of them be pastors. Some of them be elders. Some of them be bishops. They rape kids. They rape people. They kill people. All kind of stuff. Churches ain't nothing but demonic holes. Demonic holes, that's all they are. They are holding you people in a cell. That's all them churches are. They are prisons for spirits. Transformation of spirits. Go in and out of people up in them sanctuaries, they call them. Sanctuaries. Of Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. And that's why when y'all people be jumping up and dancing and praising him, all stuff, you fall out. Because he's in the air. He's a breath. He's a breath that make you unconscious up in the churches. He's the prince of the power of the air. Mean a breath that make you unconscious. And that's why you people fall out. Peter never did that stuff, man. Paul never did that stuff, man. Falling out everywhere and all of that. They never did that. They didn't have to do that. They had real power. So that's what's going on. He's just roaming through the atmosphere. The God of Israel asked him over there in Job, Satan, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just walking up and down in the earth, seeking who I may devour. Yeah, that's what he do. He just blow on whoever he could get, he blow on you and put your mind in a different, in a trance. You go kill your little daughter, your mama now. Yeah. That now work in the children of disobedience. Unpersuadable. Among who also we all had our conversation in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So Paul said, you know what? I used to be just like y'all. I used to be just like y'all. Satan, the prince of the air, he was controlling me. I was killing people, kicking doors down, grabbing women and children, men and everybody out of there, cutting their throats off, killing them. Because the prince of the air got in me. I was just like y'all. I had my conversation like that in the time past with the lust of the flesh. See, that's how he get in you. The lust of the things you lust after. The things you want and desire. And when you lust after things, this is prophetic right here, people. This is prophetic right here. When you lust after the things of this world, because this world belongs to him, when you lust after the things of this world, his food, his clothes, his job, his education, his party, his drinks, his everything, he used what you lust after to gain interest. To gain interest inside of you. He possesses you. When you lust after the things of this world that he has set up in this world for you to lust after, that's how he gained interest. Eyelashes, makeup. My God, you should see Juanita Biley. Who is that woman, man? That woman got on some makeup, man. Woo! That woman got on some makeup, man, that I ain't never seen a woman look like that. She looked ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, Pete. Long eyelashes and long weave hair. Lust after the things of this world. And that's why she's so in love with his God named Jesus. Satan God named Jesus. She's so, Zeus, that's who he is. She's so in love with him. Because the more you lust after the things of this world, the more he gain interest. The more he gain interest. And he won't let you go. He won't let you go. He won't let you see the truth. He won't let you see the knowledge. He won't let you see the wisdom and the understanding that comes from above. So Paul is saying right here in Ephesians 2:3, but it's not to lust after the things of this world. And that's everything that you see. The more you lust, people, the more the God of Israel going to want to hurt y'all. And that's prophetic, too. The more you lust after things in this world, the more the God of Israel going to want to hurt y'all, people. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. What is the desires flesh? Purpose. Greek number 2307 for desires. Purpose. Determination. Pleasures. And of the mind. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Look what it say for flesh in Ephesians 2:3. CDR, come and close this front door. Excuse me, people. flesh as stripped of the skin. Meat or animal, food, the body, or opposed to soul or spirit, or as the symbol of what is external, or as the means of kindred, physically or more, passion, human beings, carnally minded. Close the door and turn the light, both lights on. And of the mind. Let me deal with this, people, the mind. Turn that light on. Turn that one on over there. I'm reading Ephesians 2:3. For the mind, the word the mind. Greek number 1271. Deep thought. Deep thought, people. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. That's what the prince of the power of the air operate with. Your thoughts, your mind, and the stuff you lust after in this earth. Deep thought, the mind or disposition. Could you take the fish out, bruh? Mind or disposition by implication. It's exercise. Imagination, mind, understanding. And that's why y'all don't have the understanding that the God of Israel needs you to have. Why? Because you are fulfilling the lust of your flesh and the desires of your mind. And the only understanding you people can get is the understanding that the beast and its agents have set up in this earth. And that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get, people. Because you can't walk away. You love it too much. 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 Yeah. You don't like nature. You don't like life. You don't want your own food. You want the food that the beasts have made for you. That's what you want. That's what you desire. Where by nature the children of wrath. I was just like you. I was a child of disobedience. I was unpersuadable. Couldn't nobody persuade me, Paul say, to stop killing people. Stop killing my own people, because I'm a Hebrew, and I was killing my own people. I was killing the Hebrews, Israelites. I'm an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. I was killing my own people from the Roman Empire, the Gentiles. I was a child of the wrath of the God of Israel, just like y'all are today. I would listen. He had to blind me. I would not listen to nobody. I knew what I was doing was right. I knew what I was doing was okay. I knew what I was doing. I didn't need to change, and I didn't want to change. And the only way I changed, he blinded me. I couldn't see no more. I couldn't see how to go kick in a door and drag a little girl out of there and a woman and murder them. The God of Israel blinded me. Y'all don't know the story of Paul. Pretty stuff you tell up in the Christian church. It's too pretty. You don't know the real deal of a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew. An Israelite. From the tribe of Benjamin. Killing his own people. For the Gentiles. Just like you people people do it right now. For the Gentiles. Everything you do is for the Gentiles. And their gods. I was the children of wrath. Look what he say for wrath in Ephesians 2 verse 3. Greek number 3709. Probably desire as reaching forth of excitement in the mind of the mind. That is by analog, violent. Violent. Paul was so very violent. Passion. He had a passion to kill. He was a murderer. Violent passion to kill. Anger, he said. I was so full of anger, indignation, vengeance, and wrath. I wanted to kill my own people because they programmed me and they raised me up in their synagogues, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They raised me up to kill my own people, to destroy my own people. And they raising y'all up today just like they raised up Paul to kill your own people. I'm speaking to you. I'm blowing the trumpet loud today. I was the children of wrath. God of Israel blind Paul and told him, go to Straight Street. Go over there and lay down, Paul. Lay down. And I will send somebody to lay their hands on you that you will receive your sight. But first of all, you must repent. You must confess all the evil and all the wicked and all the stuff that you did against me and against my people, the children of Israel. You must confess. And if you don't confess, guess what, Paul? You're going to stay blind. You're going to stay blind. And that's why you people can't get rid of caps. And that's why you people can't get rid of lung disease and liver disease. That's why, oh, my little Billy, he's so innocent. He have cancer. He was born with cancer. That's why, people, because you have not confessed. You have not confessed. You have not repented. You have not told the God of Israel that you've been wicked and you've been evil and you've been following the beast and his sister. Just like Paul was following them. Then after they couldn't get Paul to follow them no more, they killed Paul. After Paul converted and said, no, Roman Empire, no, Gentiles, I am with the God of Israel, my father, the God of my father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't need your God Satan no more. They killed him because they couldn't control him no more. I'm speaking prophetic, people. I'm blowing the trumpet today. They couldn't control Paul no more. The only way your disease is going to leave you and your illness and your sickness, you must confess. You must confess with bemoaning, crying out like a dog to the God of Israel, on your belly, on your knees, on your lap, with your tongue hanging out, begging him for mercy. You ain't gonna do it. You can't do it. So guess what? Paul said, no, I'm not with you no more. So that's why they killed him. And that's why you have the New World Order today, people. That's why. That's why, because they know the people that rule this earth, that set up all these gods and religions and all this stuff you got. They know that a new kingdom is coming. And the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, will rule that kingdom. And they want to stop that from happening. Because they want to stay. Thank you, bro. Because they want to stay in control. That's what it's, they okay. That's what it's, they okay. That's what it's all about, control. Once they lost the control of Paul and Peter and all of them, they had to take them out. They had to take them out. It was not no ifs, ands, and buts about it. They had to take them out. And that's why Joe Biden, he made a statement, I can kill you with my COVID. I got the freedom to do it. What would make a man say something like that? Who knows, people? Ephesians 2, verse 4. Things I can't say to y'all people. Some things I cannot say. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, Paul said, have quickened us together with the Mashiach. You want to call him Christ, not me. Mashiach in the Hebrew. By grace are you saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, even in the Mashiach Yeshaya. And that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, who is us, the children of Israel. And with that, people, I'll talk to y'all next week. If the God of Israel says the same to me. Bye for now.